Welcome to the Urban Highlights Podcast. We're glad to have you back. Today, we have another fascinating city for you, filled with plenty of facts and curious stories. We're launching into a deep dive on Amsterdam today. It's one of those cities, isn't it? It feels grand, monumental almost, but also incredibly, well, intimate at the same time.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, history isn't locked away behind glass. You feel it. You know, it's flowing in those canals right beside you, and the sounds, that constant ring of bike bells, the slightly earthy smell of the water, and then, yeah, if you're lucky, that warm, sweet smell of a fresh Stroopwafel.
Definitely a city for the senses.
Absolutely. So our mission today is really to explore the stories that are kind of built into this watery place.
Well, starting with the water is perfect, because the name itself, Amsterdam, it's basically the original blueprint.
Ah, right. I love how simple it is. It's not some myth or a long-lost king.
Yeah.
Just Amstel Dam.
Exactly. Literally a dam on the Amstel River, you know, put there by fishermen back in the 13th century. They just needed to manage the water for their fishing.
Practical.
Very practical. That whole engineering mindset, solving a problem right in front of you, it feels like it's baked into the city's character.
And you still see that geography today. It's there in the Western Netherlands, sort of tucked between the North Sea and the IJsselmeer Lake.
Yes. And the numbers really tell a story about dealing with water.
Mm.
The city area is about 220 square kilometers. But here's the thing, more than a quarter of that is actually water surface.
A quarter. Wow.
Yeah. That ratio explains so much about the density, the canals, the constant movement.
It really does feel less like one solid city and more like, I don't know, a bunch of interconnected islands. Beautiful ones.
It does have that feel. Population-wise, the core city is just over 900,000 people. But the wider metro region, that jumps up beyond 2.5 million.
They've spread across really different areas, right?
Oh, completely. You've got the famous historic canal belt, the Grachten Girdle with those concentric rings. Then there's the elegance of Udzud, or the really cool artsy vibe over at the NDSM Wharf, that old shipyard up in the north.
Right, the shipyard turned arts hub.
Yeah, and then places like Bos and Lommer, just buzzing with multicultural life. It's a real mosaic.
Let's dive into the history a bit, because going from that small fishing village in the 12th century to this global powerhouse by the 17th, I mean, the speed is kind of staggering. The Golden Age, the Gutenjahr.
It really defined the city. Things started picking up pace after they got city rights in 1275. But the explosion, that really happened with the founding of the Dutch East India Company, the VOC, in 1602.
The VOC, right. That wasn't just trading, was it?
No, not at all. It was essentially the world's first true multinational corporation. It had immense power. And almost overnight, it made Amsterdam the absolute hub of a massive global trading network.
That must be when all the financial innovations started buzzing, too, because funding those kinds of global trips couldn't have been easy.
Exactly. They were long, incredibly risky voyages to Asia, Africa, the Americas, bringing back spices, pepper, nutmeg, porcelain, sugar, you name it. To fund that, they had to pool resources and spread the risk like never before. And that necessity, well, it led directly to Amsterdam setting up the world's first properly functioning modern stock exchange. That was the engine. That turned it from just a busy port into a global economic force.
Oh. So the incredible architecture we see, those fancy gabled houses along the canals, it wasn't just built on selling spices, but on this groundbreaking financial setup.
Absolutely. The money poured in and the city literally reshaped itself. That's when they designed and built that famous concentric canal system, those four main rings. It wasn't just for looks. It was hyper efficient for commerce. Boats could pull right up to the merchants' warehouses.
But that wealth, it obviously came at a cost. There's a darker side to that story that we have to acknowledge.
Critically important, yes. While we admire the beautiful houses and canals, we have to remember that foundation was built on, well, global exploitation and colonial power. That history is still debated and dealt with in the city today. It raises big questions about legacy.
Yeah, definitely. And shifting forward a bit in history, there's also the profound sadness of the mid-20th century, particularly the Nazi occupation during World War II.
Yes, the impact on the Jewish community, which was one of Europe's oldest and most significant, was just devastating. The city still carries the scars of that period.
And the Anne Frank House on the Prinsengracht stands as such a powerful symbol of that time, her diary. It gave a voice to millions. It's a place you can't ignore.
A vital reminder. And, you know, looking at the people who've shaped Amsterdam, it's always been a magnet for influential minds and movements.
Like who comes to mind?
Well, obviously Rembrandt capturing the Golden Age with the Night Watch. Then you have thinkers like Baruch de Spinoza, the philosopher.
Right.
Later, Multatuli, the writer who really took aim at colonialism.
Right.
And more recently, figures like Anne Frank herself. And of course, for many Dutch people, the football legend Johan Cruyff, almost a spiritual figure in the city.
Yeah, we'll get to AX later. But sticking with art and culture, walking around Amsterdam is like being in an open-air museum. But the big three museums are kind of the core, right?
They really are. The Rijksmuseum is the anchor. It's got Vermeer's Milkmaid, Rembrandt's huge Night Watch, yes. But it also tells the whole story of Dutch art and history, right up to modern times. It's a national museum.
Okay, the big picture. Then the Van Gogh Museum is more focused, right? More personal.
Exactly. It's an intense dive into one incredible artist's world, his life, his struggles, those amazing sunflowers and self-portraits. It's very moving.
And for something completely different.
Then you head to the Stedelijk Museum. That's where you find world-class, modern, and contemporary art and design. It shows that the city's creative pulse is still beating very strong.
And the buildings themselves tell stories, like the Royal Palace on Dam Square. It wasn't always royal, was it?
No, not at all. That huge, imposing building was originally the town hall, built by those powerful merchants during the Golden Age. It was a statement of their power, not the monarchy's.
The symbol of commerce ruling.
Precisely. And then you have churches like the Westerkerk with that iconic tower. Its bells gave Anne Frank some comfort while she was hiding nearby. She wrote about it. That adds another layer of meaning.
But Amsterdam isn't just living in the past. It definitely knows how to celebrate. The annual events seem pretty unique.
They really utilize the city's landscape. The Amsterdam Light Festival in winter is spectacular artists using the canals and bridges as a canvas for light installations.
That sounds amazing.
It is. And then there's Koningsdag, King's Day in April. The entire city just explodes in orange. Street parties, markets everywhere. It's chaos, but fun chaos.
And the Pride Canal Parade.
Mm.
That feels very Amsterdam.
It really does. A massive, joyful demonstration for LGBTQ plus rights and diversity, but held entirely on boats floating down the canals. It perfectly uses the city's unique stage to send a message of tolerance.
You see that blend in the food, too, I guess. The super traditional Dutch stuff alongside global influences.
Absolutely. You've got to try the simple pleasures, like poffertjes, those little fluffy pancakes usually drowned in butter and powdered sugar.
Oh, yeah, those are dangerous.
Ah, yes. Or the classic herring happen, grabbing a raw herring by the tail, dipping it in onions, and, well, down the hatch.
A bit intimidating, maybe, but you have to try it once. But then there's that whole other side, the Indonesian influence from the colonial past.
Exactly. The Ristafel, the rice table, is incredible. It's this huge spread of lots of small, flavorful dishes served with rice. It's a direct culinary legacy from the Dutch East Indies, and it's fantastic.
That mix really reflects the society, doesn't it? It feels like a truly global crossroads.
It absolutely is. The sources say people from over 180 different nationalities call Amsterdam home.
180? That's incredible. So you must hear dozens of languages just walking down the street.
Oh, constantly. Dutch, of course, but English is everywhere. Then Arabic, Turkish, Surinamese, Indonesian. It's a real linguistic blend. Same with religion, historic Protestant and Catholic churches, alongside mosques, synagogues, and a large growing secular population.
And it's a major university city too, right?
Yes, the University of Amsterdam is a big deal, consistently ranked among Europe's top institutions. So there's a strong intellectual current. And then, as you hinted at earlier, there's the passion, the near obsession with sport, specifically Ajax Amsterdam Football Club.
It's more than just a team there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. The sources called it almost a religion. It's deeply tied to the city's identity and figures like Johan Cruyff, whose influence went way beyond just winning games. It was about a certain style, a philosophy.
But honestly, the very first thing you notice when you arrive, the thing that defines daily life more than anything, it's the bikes.
The bikes. It's genuinely a bicycle paradox. There are actually more bicycles in Amsterdam than people.
Which creates its own kind of street hierarchy.
Definitely. You learn fast. Pedestrians, well, you're kind of tolerated. Cars, they seem actively discouraged in many areas, but the bicycles, they absolutely rule the road.
They come fast in swarms.
Yeah.
And that bell means get out of the way.
Exactly. It's dynamic, maybe a bit chaotic, but it really speaks to the city's scale and maybe its efficiency too.
And that blend of tradition and maybe pragmatic efficiency, that defines the economy too. We talked about the historical innovations for stock exchange, the diamond polishing.
Right. Amsterdam was famous for diamonds for centuries.
So what's the sparkle today? How did that legacy evolve?
Well, today the glitter is more likely to be digital. The city's really pushed its tech sector, branding it Silicon Canals. There's a big focus on fintech, financial technology, and startups.
Silicon Canals. Makes sense, given the history as a finance hub.
It does. They have the history, the infrastructure, that sort of innovative mindset. It's also a huge center for creative industries, design, fashion, advertising, music.
So it's not just tech in general, but specific niches. And of course, tourism is massive.
Huge. But alongside that, it remains a major logistics player. Schiphol Airport is one of the biggest and busiest in Europe, a key international hub. And the Port of Amsterdam is still vital for global trade.
It's such an interesting contrast, isn't it? These massive global logistics hubs serving this intimate city where the most important vehicle is still often a simple bicycle.
Or the trams, the buses, and those little white ferries crossing the IJ River to Amsterdam North.
Yeah. And that kind of dual nature, global reach, local feel that seems to play out in its politics too.
Oh, yes. The great political paradox.
Right. Amsterdam is the official capital of the Netherlands. But the actual government, the parliament, the ministries, they're all in Den Haag, The Hague. Why is that?
It's a historical thing, really, a kind of balance of power. The Hague was traditionally associated more with the royal family, the House of Orange, and the formal administration of the state. Amsterdam was always the center of commerce, finance, sometimes republican ideas.
So they let each city focus on its strength, basically.
Sort of, yeah. The split allowed both key functions in governance and commerce to develop without stepping on each other's toes too much.
So even without the day-to-day government, Amsterdam acts as a powerful symbolic capital.
Absolutely. It's run locally by a mayor, the Burgemeester, and the city council. But on the world stage, Amsterdam actively projects itself and its values. It sees itself as a pioneer for tolerance, for human rights, for sustainability. These are ideas really deeply rooted in that liberal trading history.
And that history, that culture of innovation and just getting things done, it's fundamentally tied to its environment, isn't it? That constant struggle with water.
It's the absolute core of its identity. It's easy to forget walking around, but huge parts of the city are actually below sea level.
Which isn't just a fun fact. It's a constant real threat they have to manage.
Exactly. It requires nonstop, sophisticated engineering, the dikes, the pumps, the sluices, the canals themselves. It's not a static relationship with nature. It's a continuous effort.
A battle, almost.
I could say that. The Dutch identity itself, that resilience, that innovation, it's been shaped for centuries by this need to manage, control, and sometimes reclaim land from the water, the famous polders.
And the climate reflects that proximity to water, too, maritime, right? Mild winters, fairly cool summers, lots of short bursts of rain.
Yep, keeps things green. And the city does have amazing green spaces. Vondelpark is the famous one right in the center, the city's green lung. But the Amsterdamsbos is something else entirely.
The scale of it is nuts, isn't it?
It's huge. And it's completely artificial, a man-made forest planted in the 1930s that's three times the size of Central Park in New York.
Three times. Wow. That really shows a commitment to creating green space.
It really does. And then, of course, in spring, the areas surrounding Amsterdam explode with color from the tulip fields, that iconic Dutch landscape.
Okay, before we wrap up, let's hit some of those fun, quirky facts that make Amsterdam, well, Amsterdam. My favorite is the reason the houses are so skinny. It's taxes, right? Purely practical.
Huh. Yes, the taxman literally shaped the skyline. Back in the day, property taxes were often based on the width of the house frontage along the canal.
So to save money.
You built upwards and backwards. Tall, deep, and incredibly narrow. That's why they look like that.
And that's why they have those hooks sticking out at the top on the gables for lifting furniture.
Exactly. The staircases inside are often ridiculously steep and narrow, so hoisting goods and furniture up the outside through the windows was the only way. Genius born from trying to save a few guilders.
Love it. And speaking of canals, Venice gets all the romantic press, but Amsterdam actually has more bridges, doesn't it?
Way more. Over 1,500 bridges crisscrossing the city. It's a city built on water connections.
It's also popped up in quite a few movies over the years.
Oh, yeah. It's a great backdrop. From classic Bond films like Diamonds Are Forever right up to lots of modern stuff you see streaming now.
And for a bit of local craziness, that New Year's Day swim.
Ah, the new jars, Duke. Yes, every January 1st, thousands of people run screaming into the absolutely freezing North Sea. It's bracing, a very Dutch way to start the year.
Maybe I'll skip that one. Lastly, the symbol you see everywhere, those three X's.
Right, the city's coat of arms. Three white diagonal crosses, St. Andrew's crosses or Andrea screws, on a black central band with red stripes on either side. You see those XXXs on bollards, flags, buildings, everywhere. It's the mark of Amsterdam.
So summing it all up, the picture we get is a city that's constantly adapting, constantly moving, but somehow holds on to its core soul.
Yeah, it's this incredible mix of history, commerce, art, tolerance, grit, engineering, all woven together. It really is a place you have to feel the bike bells, the water, the smells, the energy.
So looking forward, what's the big question hanging over Amsterdam now? What's the provocative thought for our listeners?
Well, I think, given that Amsterdam's identity was forged in this tension between generating massive wealth through global connections and this constant existential fight against the water, against nature, the question is, what are the new major challenges? Maybe it's climate change intensifying that water threat. Maybe it's disruptions from technology. How will those forces shape the next evolution of Amsterdam? And critically, how will those deep-seated values, commerce, tolerance, innovation, guide how the city responds? That's the ongoing story.
Thank you for tuning in again. I really appreciate your comments and subscriptions to this channel. It helps us a lot. Be sure to tell your friends about this podcast and share it on the social media platforms you use. Thanks, and see you next time.